Hello, my name is Khopotso Budibe. Welcome to this week's edition of Africa Gender Indaba, your weekly platform where we discuss issues of gender justice and transformation, human rights and development in Africa, right here on Channel Africa, your station that broadcasts from the African perspective. Thank you for tuning in to us through our various channels on PES-10 satellite in sub-Saharan Africa, DSTV Audio Bouquet Channel 802, and online on www.channelafrica.co.za in the many parts of the world where you are joining us from. Here's what you can look forward to hearing on the show today. We'll hear about an initiative that is transforming men's and boys' attitudes towards seeking health care and accessing health services in Eswatini. Whilst men are the main perpetrators of gender-based violence, they can also be part of the solution to ending the scourge. And Uganda launches an online campaign to address sexual harassment. As always, I am looking forward to you being part of these conversations here on Africa Gender Indaba via Twitter. Our handle is at Africa Gender. Now, let's go to Eswatini in Southern Africa. HIV and AIDS treatment programs in sub-Saharan Africa have been reporting that a disproportionately higher number of women are on treatment compared to men. Similarly, men are less likely to go for HIV testing, less likely to take antiretroviral treatment, and are more likely to start treatment late in their HIV infection. This is cause for concern for men's health, and it poses a public health challenge for the HIV and AIDS response. In Eswatini, a non-governmental organization known as Gwaka Indvoza is trying to address this. To hear more about this effort, we are now joined by Togozani Gina, the project's coordinator. Togozani, good morning. Thank you so much for your time. Welcome to Africa Gender Indaba. Tell us about your project, Sayetu Majaha. What is it?
Sayetu Majaha is a health project that mainly focuses on men and boys, mostly who are based in communities. So looking at the HIV prevalence in Eswatini, statistics do show that the Lubombo region is one of the regions which with a high HIV prevalence, and there is a gap that men who are aged between 25 and 30 are not really responsive in HIV testing, and they are also not that keen to be initiated on ART treatment even after they are identified as clients who are HIV positive. So the project mainly was is based in the Lubombo region, which is in the eastern part of the country. And then we are aiming at providing health support to those communities, since we know that men from the rural communities are lacking awareness in issues of HIV, and there is that general poor health-seeking behavior, which is generally known in men who are in the southern region. And also there is just that cultural script in men, which is toughen up, be strong, be brave, and then men don't cry, and you should be strong. So we know that culturally, illness or a diagnosis of any ailment in the body, it's somehow a sign of weakness. So as an organization, or as said for Majaha, we are working into breaking those barriers that men have built in accessing health services, in ensuring that we have healthy and resilient men who are going to be there to support their families and are there in the fight against HIV and AIDS. So as a project, our main goals are to break those barriers and ensuring that more than just giving HIV sensitization and education, but we also bring the services that the men need, which is HIV testing. And for those clients that you identify as HIV positive, we ensure that they are referred to the right facilities and they're initiated on the therapy before they actually fall very sick. So that's our main objective.
Now, how long has the project been in existence for? Has it been for quite a while now?
Thank you so much. The project has been in the Lubombo region since November 2018. And our main objectives were to reach a certain area which is known as Gilgal, which was the focus area, because there's a high number of HIV cases that we identified in that location. But working with the Ministry of Health, it was then suggested that the project expands across the entire region and give support to those communities in the Lubombo region. So we have worked across the region using our very interactive methods of engagement, which is community dialogues, and you know, ensuring that we provide that platform to, for men to engage with in issues of health, be it visiting a health facility. We give that focus and ensure that we market health to the focus audience, and we make sure that we do referrals, especially HIV testing or referral to ART or even voluntary male circumcision for the clients which we identify as HIV negative.
Talk to us about the response that you have been getting from the men and the boys that you're targeting. What stories do you get from them when they interact with the services that you're providing in the sessions that you have with them?
In our interactions, we have identified quite a list of issues that men have. Mainly, their concern is that they really don't have time to wait at a facility to access health service. So the long queues at the facility really makes them not to have interest in accessing healthcare services. And also, you know, being in the space, same space where there are women, and also, you know, sometimes there's attitude in the healthcare workers, you know, and men have that box that they grow in, especially in our African culture, that, you know, I'm the last person who's going to give an opinion. And if you give me an opinion, you should be convincing enough, or I cannot get information from a woman because I'm a man. So we're trying to work around those social ills, and they really voice out their concerns. And some of them have, you know, strong cultural beliefs. And we have had quite a number of stories whereby one of the men was diagnosed for HIV, and he said that he does not really believe that he is infected with the virus, and he feels he was bewitched. He still needs to do a consultation with, you know, the traditional kind of approaches before he can actually go visit a facility. So those are some of the issues that we face, that it's not always that the man will adopt the best practices that you bring. Some of them still have that strong cultural background, which you need to try to work through with them to make sure that at the end they access the service. So we've had a number of young men coming up after they identified as HIV positive, you know, sharing their stories that, you know, it was a very difficult thing when they were given the news that they're HIV positive. But because Waka Invota has walked through with them in ensuring that they are referred to a facility, and also giving support to them in ensuring that they start this new journey of being in antiretroviral treatment. So it really has been a safe space for the men, and they've given feedback that of all the services that the Ministry of Health is giving to men, this is quite an interactive and a safe space where they feel we should have more of those kinds of engagement than them going into a consultation room without engaging on what really are the implications of you know, not knowing your HIV status.
This is Africa Agenda Indaba. I am your host, Khoposo Budibe. I am with Thokozani Gina, project coordinator of Seyefu Majaha, a male health-focused program run by Gwaka Invoza in Eswatini to increase access to HIV testing, care and treatment by men in the region of Lubombo in the eastern part of the country. You are listening to us on Channel Africa, your station that broadcasts from the African perspective via PES 10 satellite in sub-Saharan Africa, on DSTV Audio Bouquet Channel 802, and online on www.channelafrica.co.za. You're also interacting with us on Twitter via our handle @AfricaGender. As I look at your tweets, here's one from @IASociety. @IASociety says there is growing recognition that engaging men will be key to reaching the UNAIDS 95-95-95 targets for HIV. And at Nick Diamond says, if we stop stigmatizing the male sex based on our gender perceptions, we will make tremendous progress. And personally, I must add that without involving men and boys in programs aimed at addressing HIV and AIDS, the world risks reversing the recent gains in addressing this epidemic. And on that note, let's go back to our conversation with Thokozani Gina from the Seya True Majaha Project. Thokozani, you mentioned earlier that you work with the Ministry of Health of Eswatini. Tell us about the setting that is where you offer your services. Tell us about how you go about doing the interactions that you have with the men and boys there in Lubombo.
When we go out to the communities to provide these interactive services, we mainly utilize a space that is available in the community, be it a community hall. At times we find ourselves having sessions under the trees. But for quality assurance and ensuring that we give quality service, especially in the HIV testing, there is mobile tents that we use for privacy and ensuring that clients have a safer space where they can have, you know, that kind of a counseling session and also, you know, undergoing the test. So as much as we are giving service in a community, at times in a very remote area, but we make sure that quality assurance at all times is at high level, and we are meeting the Minister of Health standards as an organization in providing the service. And after we identify any case that needs intervention or any case that really needs a referral to a fully structured facility, we use our national tools in ensuring that referral without breaking the client's confidentiality, and we make sure that the client is in safe hands, and it's a continuum from the kind of support that we've provided initially when they took the test. So it's a chain of a system that we have created with the Ministry of Health and obviously our supporting partner organization, which is the University Research Center. So we work very closely with the ministry in ensuring that standards are met and our clients have a safe space, and we are maintaining confidentiality as we provide the services to our targeted clients.
I am wondering about the background of the epidemic in the region where you work. Give us some background around the epidemic in the Lubombo region. What have study observations shown?
The response in the region is that in antiretroviral treatment, mostly a higher percent of response, it's been the women who were responding positively and ensuring that they are retained in treatment and they are virally suppressed. So there is still that gap that men are untraceable, or men relocate, or they have that high mobility, which makes it difficult to retain them in antiretroviral treatment. But with these kind of programs that Waka Invoxa is providing through the Seya True Majaha project, we are trying as much to close the gaps so that we have less new infections that happen within the Lubombo region. There's so many partners who are also are working in the HIV response, and there's so much work that has been done in giving support and some kind of technical approaches in ensuring that we maintain the 95-95 goal in the region. But still, there's so much that needs to be done in the areas of men and boys in the region.
Thokozani, as we wrap up this discussion here, when you are done with sensitizing the men and the boys, giving them information at these sessions that you have with them, you refer those who need to be referred to health facilities. And in those facilities, they are most likely going to be attended to by healthcare workers who are female. And at the sessions that you have with them, they actually voice out that they have problems with health personnel that are female, and that is why they do not access healthcare services in the first place. So how do you prepare them to face those health facilities that they loathe to go to in the first place?
At the beginning of the project, healthcare workers were trained on male-friendly approaches, which are going to sustain how they are going to receive male patients in the facilities. So the training package was developed by Waka Invoza, and also to cover some of the issues that men were responding, which was a curriculum developed after we did a survey around a sample of men to find what their issues really are in going to healthcare service centers. And we found that their concerns are, you know, getting consultation with the female nurse and the language that healthcare workers may be using to the patients. So after we gave that training to the facilities as support, which mainly focuses on understanding men, what does it really mean to be a man, what kind of approaches can you use when you provide service to men, especially at a community level. And then we have created space, or we are working on ensuring that all facilities have a male-friendly space, which is mainly going to have a male health worker who is going to receive men at entry point and actually inquire what kind of support do they need and walk through with the client who has been referred throughout the process of ensuring that they are given or they are provided the service that they seek at that particular time. So we are working hard to make sure that those male-friendly approaches or corners are given high standard response by those facilities. Male-friendly corner approaches vary from facility to facility. Some facilities prefer giving specific days, giving high priority focus to men on specific days. And some approach is just putting aside a room in the facility where men are going to, you know, sit, and then the male nurse comes and have consultation with those men. And there's standard material that is going to be in those male-friendly corners, be it IEC material that is speaks directly to men, or relevant posters that are going to give messages to men, so that each time they come in for a consultation, it's a very safe space. And also the training that we have given, it has somehow changed how the healthcare workers approach men cases, because if we identify those men who have not been identified, then we are going to close the tab of infection in the country.
Thank you so much for your time, Thokozani.
Thank you so much.
Thank you again to Thokozani Gina, coordinator of Gwaka Invoza Seyetru Majaha Project, a project on a mission to change long-established notions of masculinity that prevent men and boys from seeking and accessing health care services.
Baseline Fest and SABC2 brings you I Am Home. Saturday, 29th May at 9 p.m.
Lockdown.
It's forced a lot of artists to diversify.
Instead of going outside, I went inside.
Featuring Shasha, Sun El Musician, Saki, Sampa the Great, Thames, Ami Faku, Baba Mal, and many more.
You have no idea how much I miss the stage.
I Am Home on SABC2 and Channel Africa from 9 p.m. to midnight.
My name is Kgopotso Budibe. You are listening to Africa Gender Indaba here on Channel Africa, your station that broadcasts from the African perspective. Thank you for tuning in to us wherever you are listening to us from, via PES 10 satellite, DSTV audio bouquet channel 802, and online on www.channelafrica.co.za. Next up, we discuss gender-based violence. This is an epidemic largely driven by men, so we focus on how men themselves can be agents of much-needed change, eliminating gender-based violence. Emmanuel Gabari, a musician, a radio and TV host, a social worker and human rights activist who runs an organization known as African Focus for Youth Development in Kano State, Nigeria, joins us for this topic. Emmanuel, thank you so much for your time. Thank you for joining us here on Africa Gender Indaba. First of all, why are men such an integral part of efforts towards ending gender-based violence?
Thank you also for having me. I must say thanks to everyone and all your listeners across the world. It's very important for us to know that when kids are raised up, they need both the support of their father and their mother. And so young girls grow up to become ladies of their own. Young boys grow up to become men of their own. So the foundation is very important because it is how they are being treated when they are younger gets them to become men and women who could see violence and say no. So for instance, a child who is raised up in a home where there's violence every day, we ordinarily grow up to be a man who feels it's okay to beat up a woman. And then the implication is also for young girls who grow up in an environment that is violent, also grow up to become women who feels it is okay to be beaten by men. So you see the importance here, why it is paramount for men to be able to stand and raise their voices against gender-based violence. Because the truth is, back and forth, they are still even the perpetrators. Yes, I know a few cases, and even now, statistics has also shown that it's also rising that women are beginning to also violate men, but the status quo still remains that men are the main perpetrators of both sexual and gender-based violence.
I hear you here to be talking about socialization, how children are brought up in their homes, how children are brought up in communities by extension as well, where violence is very much part of life.
Yeah, and that's why we've always said that enough of the game blaming to parents and all that. Let's even begin to catch the young ones now. Let's begin to go to primary schools, colleges, secondary schools to teach the young boys and girls that we have now that it is not okay to be abused. It is not also okay to abuse. The African culture is really not helping too, because you find women who have stayed in abusive relationships or marriages for 20, 15 years, and they tell you they don't want to leave such marriages or relationship because, in quotes, their children. And we keep asking, if you die along the way of being a victim of gender-based violence, who will take care of your children? So much in the news across Africa where you see women being beaten to death, women strangling their partners, or women killing their husbands. And this is as a result of a whole lot of bottled up anger, rejection, depression, and all sorts. So every day, people live in denials. Every day, because the structure of the society doesn't let people talk about issues that affect them when it comes to gender-based violence. But I bet you so much is going on in the home front for people, and they are not finding any way to express themselves. And this is why it leads to a lot of cases that we see concerning gender-based violence.
Emmanuel, you have just mentioned a very important aspect here, that it's important to actually catch people when they are still young, to go to children, for instance, to go to schools, to have talks and some awareness creation in schools with young people. But you go to schools, you speak with young children, you speak with young boys who grow up in families where violence is the norm. You come, say, once a month for argument's sake to their school to talk to them about how violence is not the way to go. But then after that session you have had with them, they actually go back to that home where there is violence. And similarly, a girl child as well, you expose them to sessions in schools about why violence should not be tolerated, but they go back to that house where their mother or even themselves are violated. How do you address that kind of situation? Because indeed it is a problem. You are actually reaching out to them with your programs in schools or in communities, but then on the home front, when they go back home to their families, it's a different situation altogether. They once again get exposed to the violence.
What you just said is true. You try to debase their mind from some of these things. Their mindset is already attuned to believe from the home front that they see mommy beat up daddy, or they see daddy also beat up mommy. And we want to try to let them know that these things are wrong. But the truth is, we will constantly keep talking. And it is not just a one-man affair. We need everyone on board. We need the media to do this, because there's also so much violence in the media, even much more than the home front. I mean, there are better ways we could tell stories, you know. If you watch some of these movies, as well as the American films, you find that there are a whole lot of violence in the films. There is crack, there is cocaine deals, there is racketeering, there is gun deals and all that. So even when you're trying to purify the minds of these young people, they still go back in turn to the media. So look at the adverts we get these days. Look at musical videos we get these days. You see girls dressed almost naked, skimpingly dressed, and women are just being itemized, so to say, you know. So we keep telling such children, a lot of times when I meet with them and I counsel them one-on-one, I say, yes, you could have a bad start. I mean, come to think of it, in Africa, we've seen billionaires who grew from a very peasant and very poor background, but they walked their way and they became rich today, not because their parents were rich. We've also seen parents who were rich and left even items and household things for their children. But along the line, the children squander such monies. So we try to set the psyche of these children. And we say, look, it doesn't matter where you are coming from. And actually, it doesn't also matter where you are right now. Let's say the mistakes by your parents have been done. Let's say your own mistake too, as a child who saw violence and you're still seeing violence is here, you could make that change and break the circle by just saying to yourself, you know what? I'm going to say no to violence. It starts with me.
You're still tuned to Africa Agenda Indaba on Channel Africa, your station that broadcasts from the African perspective via PES 10 satellite in sub-Saharan Africa and on DSTV OWK Channel 802. You're also hearing us online on www.channelafrica.co.za in all parts of the world where you are. Thank you for joining us and welcome. I'm Khopotso Budibe. I am in discussion with activist Emmanuel Gabari on violence against women and girls, including gender equality. Our focus is on how men can contribute towards creating equality and eliminating the violence. We're always interested in hearing your views via Twitter. Our handle is @AfricaGender. At Hubert Mueli's tweet reads, "It's everybody's business to end gender-based violence. We need a violence-free environment in the home, in the workplace, and in schools." Another tweet comes from @PoojPort. It says, "For me, the biggest contribution that men can make in the pursuit to end violence against women is to recognize the societal imbalance of power that systematically privileges them. In other words, patriarchy. Only then can they take an active role in empowering women within this system." And the last tweet I will read comes from @Kapoor_S. It says, "There are not enough men fighting for gender equality. That's why it's important to emphasize the role of men and boys in addressing gender-based violence." From that last tweet, let's now continue with our discussion with Emmanuel Gabari.
Coupled to this, Emmanuel, are harmful practices or cultures that fuel masculinities and encourage men and boys to be violent. What are some of these that you are observing in Nigeria?
Some of the culture that keeps African young boys and men feeling that they have a prowess, that everything they do or say still stands and can't be challenged, is one of the things that is driving the wrong kind of masculinity for the African boy who later comes on to become a man. I give you a typical example. In normal African setting, where you have the father, the mother, and probably a boy and a girl, you find the boy sits in the living room with the father watching TV while the sister is in the kitchen cooking for the family with the mother. Now, it doesn't even matter if the boy in the parlor watching TV is the youngest and the sister in the kitchen is the eldest. So you see, the culture already is making a small boy feel that because I'm simply a man, in quotes, my elder sister doesn't deserve any respect. So when it comes to house chores, she must be the one to go into the kitchen and cook while I sit in the parlor or in the living room and eat. So from small, that culture has always been there. So we are begging on parents and traditional leaders that they should begin to shift the mindset. So this boy grows up and feels he's the lord of the home. And he takes that into his own home when eventually, and not even just his home, when he gets to a typical office setting where he now meets a female boss who he has to work under her. He struggles with that culture that has already been imbibed in him from when he was smaller, when he was a younger boy, that, look, you are a man, so you are superior to a woman. So some of these cultures really don't help. A man can't be wrong. A man can't be corrected. If a woman corrects a man or feels there's something she also as a person needs to sit her father, her uncle, her brother to discuss about and say, look, these are my feelings and this is what I think I need. They still say, shut up. The African culture doesn't allow a lady or a girl to speak when men or boys are there. Are they not human beings?
Emmanuel, you're raising a whole lot of important issues here. What is clear from what you're saying, you are suggesting that there needs to be a reorientation of how families are raised. In other words, there needs to be conversations with parents, both mother and father, around how to raise children in order to avoid such from happening. Because granted, addressing children, speaking with children, educating children is important. But if you do not go to the source, the people who are raising them up within the household, when you and I and any other activist is not there, then the efforts that we have may not actually bring about the change that we so yearning to see happen.
True. So parents need to do a whole lot in disciplining their children, not just disciplining. They have to really put their children in the right path if we must have a saner society.
I would actually venture out to say that parents themselves need to be taught how to actually raise children that are equal, boys that are equal to girls, girls that are equal to boys, not children that are unequal based on whether they are male or female.
Yeah, true.
Thank you so much for your time, Emmanuel.
Thank you very much for having me.
Thanks again to Emmanuel Gabari, human rights activist and executive director of African Focus for Youth Development in Kano State, Nigeria. He was speaking with us about the role of men in ending gender-based violence and gender inequalities, as well as how parents can play a role in promoting peace and gender equality in the home. Now let's move to Uganda. Men Engage Uganda, a network that engages men and boys to adopt and promote the values of gender equality in that East African country, has just launched an online campaign aimed at addressing sexual harassment. The campaign runs on social media with the hashtag #RespectMyBody. To hear more about it, I spoke with Shira Natenda, head of Men Engage Uganda's Economic Empowerment Working Group. Good morning, Shira, and thank you so much for your time. To get us started, please explain what the campaign is about. What specific occurrences or developments led to Men Engage Uganda starting the online campaign on ending sexual harassment?
Hello. The campaign came about after several women coming out claiming they've been harassed. One was a magistrate. Another was a member of parliament. Another was a former student of Makerere University. And several others that wanted to stay anonymous. However, these cases have become a laughingstock for the nation. The women have been slammed for standing up for themselves. The perpetrators are men. And this has led to a misconception that all men are actually the same. This is why Men Engage came out to set the record straight, that the struggle for women's rights and equality is not only a women's issue, it's an issue for all genders.
Perhaps an equally important question, what do you define as sexual harassment? Sexual harassment has so many definitions.
Sexual harassment to me is sending unwanted sexual advances or remarks in a workplace or other social situation, the sender usually uses his power to influence, whereas the receiver feels pressured, degraded, and tense.
Many countries have policies on sexual harassment. What policies or laws are there in place in Uganda to address sexual harassment, and are they effective at all?
The Employment Act 2012 of Uganda prohibits sexual harassment in the workplace. It encourages employers to have a sexual harassment policy in place and for this policy to be provided to all employees. The same act encourages employers to have a person or committee in charge of handling sexual harassment complaints and cases. This act emphasizes confidentiality and protection of persons involved in the case. However, this is not what is practiced in reality. What we see are companies protecting perpetrators and blaming victims.
Shiva, give us an idea of how sexual harassment is viewed and treated in Uganda, and what do you want to highlight and make an impact on through this campaign?
In Uganda, sexual harassment is normalized and in fact taken as a privilege or a favor to the victim. People here have a tendency of thinking the more men a woman attracts, whether wanted or unwanted, the luckier she is. There is no respect for women's bodies, no respect for our choices, and no respect for our abilities. Even if you own a car, someone always attaches it to a man buying it for you after sex. So when you come out and file for sexual harassment, you become a laughingstock. This has instilled in fear and created a culture of silence among victims.
Are there any studies that have been conducted about the prevalence of sexual harassment in Uganda? And if so, what do these studies show?
In 2016, the Uganda Demographic and Health Survey revealed that up to 22% of women between 15 and 49 of age in the country experience some form of sexual violence. Annually, 13% of women report sexual violence. This translates to more than 1 million women who experience sexual violence every year in Uganda.
Is your campaign specifically focused on the workplace, or is it looking at sexual harassment in general?
The campaign is focused on sexual harassment in the workplace and in our communities. In Uganda, women occupy the formal sector, but majority are in the informal sector. Example, markets, streets, flower farms, tea plantations, homes, bars, among others.
Men Engage Uganda is running the campaign online. Tell us how this is going to work. What platforms are you using? How can the public participate? And what are you requiring the public to do?
It will run on all social media platforms such as Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, among others. The aim is to raise awareness, change attitudes, and challenge norms that put women at risk of sexual harassment, as well as call for action for an end to this illicit act. The messages are targeting employers, communities, media, and the government. We have engaging posts where the public will be encouraged to throw in their views on how they feel sexual harassment can be tackled.
Shira, the guiding hashtag that's running the campaign is #RespectMyBody. Talk to us about the reasoning behind this hashtag.
We realize that sexual harassment is rooted in the lack of respect for women. If perpetrators respected us, they would not do such things to us. That's why Men Engage put emphasis on respect.
In essence, you are calling on men to be part of the solution. What is your call to men when it comes to sexual harassment?
We call upon all men to condemn fellow men who commit this crime and hold them accountable.
Shira, thank you so much for your time. Is there anything else that you'd like to say in conclusion?
Let's join Men Engage Uganda on all social media platforms and let's put what we read in practice. Let's hold each other accountable for a safe and just world. Thank you so much.
That was Shira Natenda, head of Men Engage Uganda's Economic Empowerment Working Group, speaking with us following their launch of an online campaign to address sexual harassment in Uganda. To follow and take part in the campaign, you can catch it on Twitter as well. Men Engage Uganda's Twitter handle is @MenEngageUganda, and the hashtag for the campaign is #RespectMyBody. On that note, we come to the end of this week's edition of Africa Gender Indaba.
Thank you for joining me, Kgopotso Modibe, here on Channel Africa, your station that broadcasts from the African perspective. Join me again next week, Tuesday, at the same time, on the same station, for another Africa Gender Indaba. In the meantime, to get a podcast of this edition, visit us online at www.channelafrica.co.za. For now, goodbye and take care.